These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
And welcome to Target Center here. Phil Mackey, the sports dad, Judd Zolgad. This is Flagrant Howls. And oh my God, if you had Timberwolves smoke the Suns in game one on your series bingo card, congratulations. But this was one of the coolest, I would say, Timberwolves history. Like, there's definitely some KG, the King series, obviously. There's been some really fun environments sprinkled throughout 35 years of Timberwolves history, Judd, but it was a vibe in here for 2.5 hours today as the Timberwolves take a 1-0 lead on a Suns team that destroyed them three times in the regular season.
Yeah, I think it's been 20 years since the Wolves hosted a first-round play or a first game of any round, and so that was great. The crowd was as expected. Like, I mean, these fans have been great all year. Now this takes it up to a playoff notch, but, I mean, these fans have been fantastic. But, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the expectation versus the reality, Phil, of what took place, because I felt like even me, I was trying to, and I know you did too for sure, calm the fans down. Like, that last game gets so, you're left, and I mean, I've seen this in hockey as well, right? You close the season against the team that you're going to play in the playoffs, and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I mean, we didn't look good. Our team looked terrible. And you know what? The exact opposite of what many expected took place. And I mean, you got up and down. What impressed me today, and the Ant third quarter, what, 18 points to tie a Wolves single quarter playoff high. But the contributions that this team got across the board from so many different guys, Nas, Nah, Rudy, Cat played his role extremely well.
Yep,
I mean,
yep.
That to me, like, we saw, and there will definitely be adjustments made now, but we saw what the formula is, right? Like this is the formula, and part of it is just working your ass off, and the Timberwolves did a great job, and I give credit because I do believe that they fed off the energy of this building. It definitely helped.
Yeah, dude. I think, yeah, the energy from the crowd, but then the energy, and I'll use a word because you and I, the reason why we didn't go live right after the game instead of, like, we normally would just go live, like Vikings Vent Line, right? But we're in the arena, so we wanted the arena to clear out a little bit so we could hear each other and so the audience could hear. We also wanted to go check on Chris Finch and see what he had to say about this game. And he used a word that was really interesting. He was asked about the three regular season games and sort of what the biggest difference was in this one, and then even, like, what can you carry over into games 2, 3, and 4. And he said, we've had stretches this season where we've played great basketball. We've played cohesive basketball. Lately, we've been playing mostly really good basketball, but today was desperate basketball. That they were playing with, he said, chip on their shoulder, but I sort of characterize it as, like, it felt like a game 7. I mean, didn't it kind of feel like they were playing as if their season was on the line here today? Isn't that the vibe? That's the vibe I got watching this game today.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game was incredibly important to make a statement about the fact, and this is no surprise, that at every turn, the 2023-24 Wolves have to prove themselves.
Yeah.
Like that's the ongoing sort of, to me, storyline of this season's team, and it's fair. I mean, this franchise has had opportunities in the playoffs in recent years. It's dropped the ball. When Phoenix blows them out on Sunday, I don't blame people for being nervous. My point was, hey, let's just wait and see. And what we saw was beyond our expectations. But yeah, I think that there's a definite desperation. And look, I mean, this game was not like four quarters of really pretty basketball, which I think is great if you're the Wolves. This was four quarters of, there were some moments, particularly Ant, that were very pretty, but it was also work your ass off basketball. I mean, this is how you win a series, and I think it's going to be why the Suns aren't flummoxed, because the other thing is now what you do and what the Wolves are going to have to get, and some guys do get this, but you now have to take game one and say, repeat it, not just Tuesday, but to win a series, and then repeat it again, and it comes in different forms. I mean, adjustments are made, but the point is, winning playoffs is what we saw today, which is working your ass off and never allowing yourself to get too high, because until you've got that LOB in your hand, you haven't made it.
Yeah. I mean, there's let's start. We should just start going through the checklist of the things that stood out in this game today. I'll start with Nikhil Alexander-Walker coming off the bench as a plus 28 in the box score. He immediately, in his first rotation, and I think it was, I want to say it was like 10 or 12 minutes, end of the first quarter, into the second quarter, he drops 12 points in the first rotation. He was just a bolt of energy and lightning coming in. And we had talked all week long that it felt like a type of series where you're going to have to maybe limit some of the big man minutes. And I don't even know if they really did that. If you start to look through, it's like, you know, Carl, we were looking at this before we went live. Carl averaged, what, 32 minutes in the regular season?
Yes.
He played 27 in this game, but the last 5 minutes were garbage time. And like Luka Garza was out there launching shots. So he was on track to play 31 or 32 minutes. Rudy Gobert played 37 minutes. Naz Reid, a little bit of a downtick in minutes at 19. But I love that Nikhil played just under 30 minutes in this game. It just feels like a Nikhil Alexander-Walker series. The way that he can guard multiple different guys in that Suns rotation. And then the decision to put Jaden McDaniels on Devin Booker to start the game.
Yes.
And they put different guys on Devin Booker, but it just felt like from the get-go, Devin Booker, everything was hard for 2.5 hours. And I'm sure he's going to find a way. He's one of the best players in the world. I'm sure he'll have a game or two where he goes off for 30 points or maybe even 40. But, like, didn't it feel like Jaden McDaniels suffocated Devin Booker for the first part of the game? And it threw the entire – outside of Durant, who was just doing God mode things for the first half, it felt like everything else was really hard for that Suns offense.
So we talked about this a lot, at least on the Flagrants I joined you for last week, this past week. But let's go through the things, too, that were different and adjustments, because they clearly were not going to unveil those a week ago in a regular season game, and nor should they have.
Yeah.
But I thought the one thing was, I think that we talked about, well, Jaden McDaniels is going to have to be glued to Durant. Chris Finch said, oh, no, Durant's going to get his. What we're going to do is we're going to take away Booker. And so Devin Booker will have, I'm sure, in game two, just for a reference point, he was 5 of 16 from the field today and 2 of 6 from 3. He's going to have a better game, but nonetheless, what McDaniels did is what McDaniels does. Like that was not a, well, Booker just had a bad game and he's going to, no, I'm sure he'll be improved. But what Jaden McDaniels did, in my opinion, is what he can do. And I sort of love this, you know what, Durant's going to get his 30 plus. He just is, right?
Yeah.
So instead of saying, as we talked about, well, try and take away Durant, they sort of said, okay, we're going to do what we can on Kevin, but we're not going to allow anyone else to chip in to beat us. I can see that, and now the Suns will have to adjust to that, but I can see that as a really solid, as we talked about, what adjustments, what's going to be your formula to potentially win. What we saw today makes a lot of sense, and the thing with Jaden and Na is nothing they did is things that they can't do, and it wasn't just like a hot hand game. It's how hard they bleeping work, and that's how you win.
Yep. Okay. I want to respond to like three different things you said, so we're gonna put a pin in the sort of the what is sustainable conversation, because I think that's a good one. Mm-hmm. But to your Kevin Durant point, Karl Anthony Towns started the game. And by the way, huge props to Kat in this one. I think this is one of Kat's best playoff games the last couple years. I mean, he's had some clunkers, but like he seemed largely dialed in. He early in the first quarter, they made a concerted effort to get him post-ups against Kevin Durant. The first two, immediate double team comes. He makes the right pass. One of them swings around for a wide-open three in the corner that was missed by Jaden McDaniels. The other one was an over-the-shoulder pass to a cutting Rudy Gobert for an easy two. But on the Durant thing, so Kat guarding Durant and Jaden McDaniels guarding Devin Booker, you might think, like, just if somebody were to have said that to you, you say, well, why wouldn't you put your best defender, Jaden McDaniels, on their best Hall of Fame offensive player, Durant? Well, because Kevin Durant has been in the playoffs for a decade and a half, and he has led the playoffs in scoring in about half of those seasons. I mean, he literally averages like 30 points against anyone, anywhere. He's going to get his. He's unblockable. So why waste your best defender on him when he's going to get 30 or 35 points anyways? Why not use your best defender chess piece to make life miserable for the second guy, Devin Booker? I love it. And, you know, Cat had some contests early, and of course Durant, because he's Durant, just rises up and makes him anyways. But I think it's going to be interesting how Phoenix sort of counters, and I don't know what the answer is, but there will be a counterpunch. But it has kind of felt like, as they shut the lights off on us here inside Target Center.
Not on me. You can still see me. I mean, look at this. Weird. I'm clearly a long ways away from you.
I said keep this to light. You early in the week. Like, it felt like the Wolves, we hadn't seen the counterpunches yet and the counter strategy. Yes. But it has kind of felt like there's at least two or three levers the Wolves can pull with how deep they are. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many levers the Suns can pull outside of, hey, Hall of Fame players, go crazy and score 35 or 40 points, which, by the way, is possible. But right. But after watching this game, I don't know that it's possible four times in seven games.
And here's what I think is in the Wolves' favor about this, too. It's the spacing of days between games. Because if you were to bring him back tomorrow, or you were to bring him back in 2 days and say, okay, repeat that, it's going to be tough. And I'm certainly not saying that the Suns can't come back, because they can. But for my sure. point is, you got till Tuesday now, right? So, like, for how hard guys work, you've got that time for them now to rest and get some time off. And the nice thing is, you know what? The Wolves, they play a pretty deep bench, too. Like, there's just a lot of things. And this is why this whole thing of, well, it's going to be a sweep. The Wolves are really, really screwed. To me, they could lose this thing. But this was going to be, I think we all agreed, a series that was going to be incredibly tough, probably long. Let's get back to Ant, though. Because I looked at you early in the third, right before he hit and started to go crazy. And I said, well, it's impressive that they lead, because Ant has had, you know, for him, not a great game. Like, at that
it's
point
like
in time,
four turnovers early.
And he was scoring some points. I mean, it was not a dud. It was not a bad Cat playoff game where it's like, oh my God, he disappeared. But it was not a great game. And then he flipped that switch. And we talked about this, but how about the look in that dude's eye when he starts to? But I mean, think about that. Like, that is what makes a superstar. That's what makes a Justin Jefferson.
Jim Pete in the house over here, by the way.
Hey, Jim. That's what makes a Kirill Kaprizov. Like, when you see that look, which is, I want to destroy you. And Ant does it with a smile. Like, he does it very friendly. I think guys love him. He trash-talked Durant, and it was my opinion that Durant was like, hey, this is sort of funny.
Yeah, Durant kind of laughed at him. And it was friendly from Ant, but, dude, like that, you said the look in his eye, you know, it was, I saw Kendrick Perkins throw a tweet out. People mocked Kevin Garnett for saying, I think he said 85 Jordan, and then they were talking maybe 89 Jordan. Whatever you want to say, like, late 80s Jordan was on display inside Target Center. He took that game over in the third quarter. He brought the life back into the arena when Phoenix was making a little bit of a run. They cut the 13-point lead down to four or whatever it was. And then some of the defensive plays, the strip and the dunk in the fourth quarter too. Yeah, he's just at every single turn in his young career, including game one, he has risen above the level of his even regular season performance, which has been outstanding the last 2 years. And he is a riser to the moment, we are finding out.
And how impressive, too, is it that he can be having a solid game or for him, a not a great game. And then it flips. Like we've seen a lot of guys who, if it gets off to a bad start, it's sort of like curtains. It's sort of like, okay, and then they'll have a great game, but it's a great game. This is one where it's just like, okay, screw this. Now it's my time. And he starts knocking down shot after shot after shot, and it takes over the building.
Yeah. Dude, there's a wild card factor here that, you know, we went through the exercise of ranking the top players in the series before the series started, which was part of the uphill climb for the Wolves. It's like, okay, you just got smoked three times in the regular season by this team, and you're looking for silver linings, and you start to rank the players in the series. It's like, okay, well, Kevin Durant's the best player in the series. Until proven otherwise, Devin Booker is the second best player in the series. And then you get to your Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert, probably fourth, et cetera. But the wild card here is Anthony Edwards is an ascending superstar. He's not going to peak for like three or four more years, but he's going to continue to climb in increments. And is there a wild card factor here that Anthony Edwards becomes the best player in the series. I think he was the best player on the court tonight. Bad turnovers early, but energy, rebounding, making the right pass, taking a game that was getting close and opening it back up in the third quarter. I mean, Durant was Durant, so don't get me wrong, but But if there's a chance Anthony Edwards could become the best player in this series if we get this version throughout the entire next 2 weeks.
It's an interesting point because I think the best way I could articulate it is the fact that if Ant hadn't come on, like if Ant had just continued to have the game that he was when I so stupidly now said, hey, he's having an okay game, but not great, the Wolves still win this game. What they don't do is they don't make a statement. Like this is a statement. Like the Suns are going to, if the Wolves spent the past 5 days like, oh boy, we got to, you know, we got beat on Sunday. We've been beat three times convincingly by Phoenix. If the Wolves spent 5 days trying to adjust because they doubted themselves, if you're the Suns, you're doubting yourself right now. Now, I think you'll be fine. But the point is, Ant's game today to me put the took a game that was a really solid game. A lot of guys contributed, and he just put a huge exclamation point of, now we're going to knock you out.
Yeah.
It's like he came off the bench, It's like he came out of his corner in a boxing match and just delivered a right to the Suns, and they went flying.
It was Thanos, man. I mean, he has that level to his game where he can take a close game and make it a blowout, or he can take you from down 15 or 18 points, and all of a sudden, boom, now it's a tie game single-handedly. By the way, a couple things. Producer Ross is working behind the scenes here, just giving us some of the quotes from, like, the Suns locker room. And by the way, yeah, Ross, you can put some comments from the audience on the screen, too, from time to time. We'd love to just respond to people. And if you are hanging out with us here, which it looks like there's about 1,500 of you hanging out on the Score North YouTube channel for this live Flagrant Howls inside Target Center, please click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. I saw Kyle Tagge, you know, throughout the game. He's here, so we're going to get him on.
He's famous
throughout these playoffs.
He's talking to your guy Kilborn. He's talking to Laurie. It's like Kyle owns the place. He walks
I think Kyle and A-Rod spent like 10 minutes talking to each other in the tunnel over here. I think A-Rod went in for a hug at one point.
Mark Laurie was here.
Yeah. Dude, the uncomfortableness. At one point, pretty sure Glenn Taylor stared down Mark Laurie as he walked from the tunnel around.
And by the way, and we both at the time said this, but how much did today prove that the players and coaches do not care about, like, who owns the team? This is a complete mess.
But did you notice, like, Anthony Edwards three or four different times, and even Carl, they'd make a big play at that end of the court, and then they would turn to Alex and or Mark, it looked like, from my angle anyways, and they'd do, like, the flex and stuff. I didn't see them turn to Glenn at all.
I saw Anthony walk right by Glenn. But my point is, I mean,
I saw Kyle Anderson hug Glenn in the tunnel today. So
that's because, you know why? That's because if I went and hugged Dan or Ginny, I want my job. And
our
so
bosses,
I'm just I'd go hug my boss, too, if I was slow-mo.
just going through some of these locker room anecdotes from Ross here. So Rudy Gobert after the game, because obviously that's another narrative here that
we should get into
Rudy
this.
Gobert gets played off the court, especially when teams go small, right? He gets played off the court. And there was a moment late in the first half where the Wolves have built a 10-point lead and with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. And the Suns pulled Nurkic and put essentially Durant at the five. And I don't have my notes open right now, but I think it was a Durant, Beal, Eric Gordon, Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal. And Royce O'Neal. They basically had five guys who shoot 40% from three-point range with Kevin Durant as the big. And they were trying to catch the Timberwolves for a couple minutes with two big men on the court. And guess what happened? The Wolves went zone right away. They forced a couple turnovers. They essentially let Phoenix dribble into passing lanes, into the length. They essentially let the Suns come to them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But those Utah perimeter defenses were such a train wreck for a couple years, and it all kind of got lumped on Rudy that, oh, Rudy's the one that's, you know, out of position, this, that, the other. I don't know, man. When he gets a chance to play with Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and by the way, there was a couple possessions where it's like Rudy's out there with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the pair. So Rudy, after the game, said, I'm comfortable guarding anyone. I trust my teammates to compete the same way. This one today was I think, a blow to the Rudy gets played off the court in the playoffs against small ball lineups narrative.
Chris Finch, in his postgame presser, also had an interesting quote when asked about Gobert's defense. He says, Rudy cares a lot and he takes it personally. And that, I thought, was a perfect quote for this entire team's defense today. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's an effort thing. It's an effort thing, and it's like Gobert is desperate, and he should be, to end the narrative that he is somehow at fault for playoff failures.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could see it from the outset today. In fact, what he and, if I'm not mistaken, to begin the game today, he and Ant ended up switching on Durant, and like the mm-hmm. first possession for the Suns, Gobert ended up on Durant, and it didn't go particularly well, but he was working his ass off. And that's the thing. Like, you can tell that he is, this is not a, I'm a talented big. This is, I'm going to work my butt off. And what was the final here? As I look, he led all players with 16 boards, including 6 on the offensive glass.
Yeah. And 14 points on 6 shots. 14 points.
Yeah.
With the free throws, obviously. And, 6 of 7.
And that's a key thing, too. The free throws. I mean, this guy has traditionally not been great there, and he was fantastic. So I thought Gobert really sort of encapsulates why the Wolves won, which was, yeah, they got some great games, but more importantly, I just thought a lot of guys really, really worked hard. And, like, this is what Finch, in fact, pregame was asked in his presser. He was asked, you know, what's gone wrong in the 3 games with you guys against the Suns? You know, it's been pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, we haven't really shot well. We haven't played defense. We have turned the ball over entirely too much. He just basically said, we've sucked. So yeah. If that's what you want to hear, that's what I'll tell you. And yeah. That is definitely changed.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about Naz Reid a whole lot here, but there was a couple just like classic Naz Reid moments where, you know, the ball swings around. He doesn't have a ton of daylight, but he pulls a quick trigger and knocks down a big 3. He had that one play in transition where he puts a little Euro step on, takes the ball like Julius Erving, like loops the ball around the defender and then does a reverse layup, and the crowd, just the arena roof blew off on that one. From Royce on Twitter, watching the Suns post game, let's see here. Oh, the Suns post game, like their commentators. They want the Suns to punish Minnesota for their physical play by driving into contact and drawing fouls. That is one thing. I mean, the Wolves did. There were some questionable calls, I thought, today, but like Carl had 4 fouls toward the end of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Didn't Conley pick up 5 fouls?
5.
I'm pretty sure. It was not a great Mike Conley game.
Very weird game.
Probably bounce back. Yeah, I guess they were also saying that just very impressed with Ant-Man, Rudy, and Nikhil, and they're very concerned about Grayson Allen's ankle. Kyle Anderson also went out in the first half, did not come back. I heard behind the scenes it's a hip situation for him. Mm. I don't know how bad it is. Mm. So that's something to keep an eye on, just for depth purposes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are kind of your updates on the Sun side.
In the third quarter, Nah at one point grabbed his left side, like his ribs, and he was, it looked bad for a second, and then it sort of passed and he stayed in. So I don't know if that's like something that just hurt immediately and is not a concern, if that, now that the game is done and his adrenaline slows down, is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think if slow-mo is out, depth-wise, that's not great, but I don't think that he was going to impact this series. If Nah is slowed down in any way, that definitely does, because what he did today was instrumental.
Yeah.
And you talk about a guy who as you were talking about during the game, was a throw-in in a trade, sort of just a nothing throw-in. My God, was that impressive.
Let's go through here on both sides and try to decipher, because again, this was just an absolute thrashing, man. 120-95. It was fairly close early on, and then the Wolves just opened it up toward the end of the first half, and there was a little bit of a blip in the third quarter, but I mean, the Wolves were the better team. But how many things on either side of the box score do you feel like are unsustainable going forward? Because I mean, I'm just kind of looking through. I mean, Devin Booker is not going to get bottled to this extent for the entire series.
Yes.
But Mike Conley is not going to go 2 for 12, hit 0 3-pointers, and have 5 fouls and be a minus 8. Like, I don't think he gets played off the floor.
Third quarter especially. What was the amount of misses by the Suns, and this is not in the box score, at the rim? Because that's one thing. And the Wolves did a really good job.
Yeah, well,
but, I mean, the Suns missed
some seeing open, ghosts, man.
Open shots.
But this is what happens to teams against the Timberwolves, especially when Gobert's out there. Like, you tend to rush shots at the rim. Or there was one, I think it was Eric Gordon, where he just, like, he got a rebound wide open under the hoop and just kind of freaked out and threw the ball up without even jumping because he thought Rudy Gobert was coming.
Yeah.
So some of it's just the Timberwolves and Rudy Gobert, you know, roaming around and making you uncomfortable at the rim.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able – they're going to have to also, as the series carries on, start to make some of those shots. They're not going to make them all. But, I mean, that was – I mean, just off the top of my head, I would say that they missed 5 bunnies in the third quarter alone, and you're going to make some of those. But yeah, I think, like, the defense on Booker was absolutely great. He didn't have a good night, but there's a reason why too. Like that's the thing.
He didn't just miss shots. It wasn't
exactly.
Just
he didn't
shots.
Just yeah. He didn't just say, "Well, boy, I suck and I can't make shots, or I'm going to struggle." So, like, I do think that he is going to have better games. I don't think that the Wolves are going to exactly say, "Okay, we stopped him in game one, but we probably can't in game two." As long as the effort, intensity, and the same guys come to play on Tuesday, they are going to cause problems, and it's why my opinion is the uglier the games, the better.
Yeah. Some of the other things, sustainable or not, just on the Phoenix side, I mean, Grayson Allen, we'll have to find out more about his ankle situation, but he didn't make a three-pointer. He was, in fact, he didn't even get a shot off until, like, late in the first half, if I remember correctly.
He looked really shaky. Yes.
So, yeah, he was, I mean, obviously, I think he wound up leading the entire league in three-point make percentage with, like, a 47% rate. Mm-hmm. But on the Wolves side, here's the thing. I mean, Anthony Edwards, yes, the efficiency, 14 of 24, you're probably not going to get exactly that type of shooting percentage every single game this series, but 33 points, some rebounds, some assists, some defense. This is playoff Ant. I don't think anything he did today was wildly unsustainable in the series. I don't think he's going to turn it over 6 times every game, so that probably comes down.
Yep.
Carl was really efficient. He winds up with 19 points on 9 shots, grabbing rebounds, making the right pass out of the double team. Oh, he was
that
he,
one
he
pass was gorgeous to Rudy.
Yeah, the over-the-back pass.
First half. Oh.
This was just like, if you're going to get this version of Carl throughout the entire series, huge win for the Wolves. And Gobert, I mean, 14 and 16, efficient in terms of the shooting percentage. I don't know. Like, Nikhil, you could say, okay, wow, like, the dude came in, scored 18 points off the bench. But, like, they ramped up his minutes. He played 30 minutes. And this is going to be a Nikhil series. So I don't know. This is the good news for sustainability. Like, I don't know if the Wolves have very many outliers where you'd say, boy, yeah, it's great that they won the game, but good luck getting this repeat performance from these three guys.
I think it's more about the Suns and Vogel adjusting. Like, I think it's more about that because I do think again, because there is sufficient time off between games, I do think that the Wolves, the only thing that would bite them in the ass is being tired, which they shouldn't be. I do think that just as we talked about, the Wolves would adjust from Sunday's game to this game. I think the Suns will adjust some things. But that being said, I mean, this should be a 6 or 7 game, just heavyweight fight.
Or will it be?
You can wave your flag.
Or will it be?
I gave you a towel. You can wave your towel right now.
Oh, it's forgotten.
You can wave your towel. I don't know.
I'll wait for game two. If they go up 2-0, okay, then I'll wave the towel here.
But I just think that there was a lot of things to really like. And let's go back to Kat, because here's the thing with Kat, too. And we've been talking about this for a long time. And I think some people think we don't like Kat. And some people definitely got offended at times when we said this isn't Kat's team, it's Ant's team. And that whole storyline is a little bit cliched because of the words. It's his team, it's not his team, blah, blah, blah. But didn't we see today in action what you want, which is there was never a time in this game where it was put in Ant's lap. Like, there was never a moment when you're like, if Carl doesn't, you know, if Carl doesn't go on a run here, this team's in trouble. And I thought that I would call this Roll Carl today. role, R-O-L-E, Carl. Mm-hmm. He had a role, and he played it masterfully, and he is a very talented basketball player. So when he does his role, it's absolutely instrumental to a win. But I think today is a demonstration of what we've been talking about, which is, well, it's not Carl's team. What does that mean? It means when Carl can play his role, when he's slotted in, when the piece of the puzzle that's Carl is slotted in correctly, and you don't ask him to, oh, my God, save our bacon. I think this was it. I really do.
And he was like, I thought too, he looked a little jittery early, just like some of the there was a couple moments where it looked like he was sort of feeling, even like pregame, you could tell he was like really amped up. Maybe jittery is the wrong word, but I thought he really settled in and he channeled his emotions. Sometimes he gets into this funk in other playoff series where he's channeling his emotions in a negative way and it gets into sort of the flailing, whining, stray voltage, as some people have coined it. I thought tonight, I mean, it was a lot more honed and focused, and then big play and one, now the energy comes out and it's more of a positive energy. So major props to him. A couple other things from the locker room here. So Anthony Edwards on the Kevin Durant trash talk clip that's going viral as he's backpedaling down the floor and he's just thumping his chest and he's just in Kevin Durant's face. And Anthony Edwards said, quote, "I think everybody here knows that KD is my favorite player of all time. So that was probably one of the best feelings ever in my whole life."
And it did look like that, though. Because KD did not look mad. Like,
he didn't take it personally. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is Ant, and this is what makes him, he's got, there's no question, some Puckett to him. Because opponents love Puckett, right? Like this doesn't look like it's this personal, like he trash talks, and it's great. And he wants to beat your ass bad. But it's got that Puckett sort of like, oh my God, you are really good, and I respect that, and you're a decent guy, like you're fun to trash talk with. It's just one of many things that I thought made today so much fun. I mean, this building was just so much fun. It didn't only live up to expectations. I think it exceeded them. And I had high expectations coming in. So just to be clear, I had high expectations. I think it exceeded those expectations.
Yeah, me too, man. It was, I don't know, it's hard not to have the hair on the back of your arm or the back of your neck stand up. And it was like 15 minutes before the game, and the whole place is packed. The tarps are off the upper level sort of sections that they've kept those tarps on. The white T-shirts, the white out. Like 15 minutes before the game in this place was bumping.
Dare I say Metrodome game 163 in 2009?
It felt that way. The energy.
The intensity.
And it wasn't, even when the Suns are making a run, like we've talked on all of our shows about the nervous Minnesota fan energy, sometimes that creeping death feeling in these situations, or you just know that something's going to go wrong. Timberwolves fans feel different the last couple of years. It almost feels, first of all, it's a really nuanced, smart crowd. They like the little things that they will cheer for. The ovation for Nickeil Alexander-Walker when he gets in the game, knowing that this is a key player in the series, when he checks in for the first time. And I think even when the other team starts to make a run, it's like the fans, they try to lift the team up with encouragement as opposed to getting quiet and sinking into their seats like sometimes we do.
Yes.
With Minnesota sporting playoff events.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Anthony Edwards on Rudy Gobert. It was fun to watch Rudy go out there and showcase the defensive player of the year stuff.
Yep.
It was dope, as Ant said. Tyler Anderson in the YouTube comments says he loves your sweater, your little quarter zip there. Did you get that from Eli
Don bought
or, Peyton Manning? Oh, okay.
Don bought it for me online, and it showed up, and comfortable as can be. It's fantastic. I didn't
looks
even have to go to the store to get it. It's very cozy. It fits really well, not too snug. I hate snug stuff. There's nothing worse than a sweater that's snug on you. Ugh, I hate that.
Hey, let's go through a list of celebrities that were here. So Adrian Peterson was here courtside.
Yep, baseline.
Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
Brian O'Neill.
Josh
Metellus. Craig Kilborn, our guy, friend of the show here on Flagrant House.
Yep. We saw a picture of Kaprizov, Zuccarello,
Brodin. Greenway. Greenway.
He walked past us. But yeah, it was
A-Rod and Laurie, obviously.
Yeah, now you had expected, or hadn't your Justin Herbert in the crowd, Brett asked. No, it was too expensive for him.
CT ESPN is reporting that
You know what's funny is you can't completely dismiss it. So
well, no, hell, I mean, we read
that makes that fun.
We'll read anything on Purple Daily. We read an anonymous email a couple weeks ago that said, "Keep an eye on Justin Herbert."
Yeah,
to the Vikings.
But you know what? This is so for all of the Wolves fans who actually care about like credit and national attention, right?
This is how you get it.
This is how you get it. Exactly right. You don't get it in December. You don't get it.
You do
in
it
January.
By beating the brakes off of Hall of Famers
in standalone games. In standalone games, because if you are a basketball fan, there was only one game on this afternoon after Cavs and Magic, and it was this game. So, like, if you're like, well, Ant doesn't get the attention he deserves, ladies and gentlemen, if he continues to play the way he did today, you will no longer have to worry about him getting attention.
Someone's saying here, Anthony Edwards, one goat in the comment section, that AP is in the locker room just down the hallway here right now.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure. Oh, the guys love him.
Yeah.
He's
he looks great, by the way. He's like 38, right? 30,
you,
30,
you called 30, it. 30. I've said it. UFL. Go to the UFL. I know you don't want to, but you know what, dude? Go to the UFL. People will watch. You'll get paid more. You know what? He's going to go to, if ideally, in his world right now, he's going to go to a training camp and probably get cut. Summer.
Is someone going to bring him to a camp, do you think?
Well, I'm just saying he wants to, and so like a team might say, okay, you can come in. But if you go to the UFL...
The UFL should have, like, I don't know, a total side street here, but, like, the UFL should have some sort of pool, obviously higher than, like, the normal players get paid. Where, like, you have one slot per team that's, like, funded by the league.
Like a veteran.
And it's a guy you can make, like, $200,000 instead of $50,000. And, you like, Terrell Owens or Adrian Peterson. You
know? I love this. But, yes, but AP, athletes love him. Because, I mean, he was a freak.
Yeah. So, hey, any other just final – God, we're almost 40 minutes into this thing from Target Center here. Any other final thoughts from you? We will be obviously much more content here in the coming days. Game 2 coming up on Tuesday? Yes, Tuesday, Friday.
My final thought is I'm glad we're now past the point of being afraid that the Wolves – we're going to lose in four games, and oh my God, and the season's going to be disappointing.
Pretty quickly, it's flipped from like, oh my God, are they going to get swept? Can they sweep?
Can they sweep? Yeah. But I mean, this unleashes the ability of the sports fan in this state to sort of put behind them, at least for now, this, oh my God, I'm nervous about this. It's going to be terrible. It's typical to actually unleash. And I think the unleashed sports fan in this state, and, I, you know, it's been a long time, but I saw it in 87. I saw it 91 with the Twins, the North Stars, Wolves here, circa 2005. It's a lot of fun. And I feel like we saw that as the lead, as the margin increased today. I'm not saying, like, you might want to tone down the next time Durant's at the free throw line on
overrated.
You might not want to do that, but I love that sort of brash. Yeah, we're loud and we're here, and that's what we got in the second half, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yes, yeah. So that's a wrap here for this live edition of Flagrant Howls on the Score North YouTube channel. The sports dad, Judd Zolgad, in his gray quarter zip. We both kind of hedged. I had a black getup on, and I'm like, oh, they're doing a white out. You know, they kind of frown upon cheering and being a fan in Media Row. So I kind of hedged and wore gray. So it was a little closer to a whiteout.
It's a nice look.
Thank you.
I think you look absolutely fine. Yeah.
It's a Faraday soft cotton polyester blend.
Very nice.
Might be a tri blend of some kind. I'm sure
it is.
So anyways, that's a wrap from Target Center here. Flagrant Howls, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.